making our way through the fourth and fifth chapter of Ephesians, and very good material for us as a church to be reminded of and informed of. In Ephesians chapter 4, we started out with verse 7. I'm sorry, it's verse 7. And every one of us is given grace according to the measure we give to God. God gives us grace to do what he calls us to do. He asks us to teach a Sunday school class, he gives us grace. He asks us to witness to our neighbor, he gives us grace. If God calls you to be a missionary, he gives you grace. He gives us grace accordingly. Verse 11, he gives us leadership. God gives us apostles, pastors. Today we have apostles now, but we have pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Verse 12, perfect the saints. That's one of my jobs as a pastor, is to be maturing, growing, giving material for us to understand and be aware of. I became aware of that a little bit this morning in chapel. I have a brand new teenager in our chapel this year in school. We're having the kids try to quote the books of the New Testament, the Old Testament. I would figure in a Christian school you should be able to do that. And a new boy stood up, and I said, say the books in the New Testament. He just sort of looked at me. And I said, it starts with Matthew. He goes, okay, Matthew. And he just didn't know. Yeah, I don't blame him. I've been no criticism. But it just shows there's a lot of perfecting to do, isn't there? A lot of stuff that we assume. Do you know how long it takes you to look in the Bible for a passage that you don't even know the books in the Bible? And we talked about that for a little while today. Well, that's a job of leadership, to perfect and to grow and give tools to saints. Verse 13, how far until we all come to unity in the body of Christ. And then that passage says, until we grow up into Christ. We mature into our head, which is Christ. And you know, that's a lot of learning to submit to our head, isn't it? Letting Christ be the head. And everybody in a good Bible preaching church working together, following one head, makes a wonderful thing. And that head is Christ. So we laid all that down a few weeks ago. And then he said in verse 17 that we're not to be like an unsaved mentality. He calls it the Gentile mind. Gentile mind, and we described it, they're that way because they don't have enlightenment. And they're dead in their conscience. They don't know better, and they can't know better because it's all spiritually orchestrated and served. And so he said, you know better. You, Ephesians, know what Christ wants you to do. And so then he goes on, he says in verse 20, that you have not so learned Christ, verse 21, if you think. And I wonder how many people attend churches like Westside Baptist churches around the world that are not in Christ. They're just in church and in Christ. And all too often, we find people Bible meeting, evangelistic effort. Here comes a good number of people. Everybody thought the same. That's a good thing. It just shows that Jesus is needed. Could be more of people going to church. And then he says, verse 22, the first thing we do is put off. Put off some things in our garbage that are our old nature. Verse 24, put on the new things. That's a choice, isn't it? And I reminded us, God doesn't tell us to do some things. If you go do that, and you can't do it. So the Lord says, put off concerning your former way of living. And then put on a new way. That's the Christ way, the Bible. Amen? And so this is what he talks to us about. And then we talked about one of the biggest offenses of Christians, verse 29 and following. He says, we are not to have corrupt communication out of our mouth. And there's all kinds of things, from cussing and swearing to being mean, rude, and unkind. And he said, we're not to do that. And in verse 29, we're to learn to minister grace to the hearer that it might edify. And that's been a big theme in these series I'm going to Dad, does your words edify your family? Mom, does your kids, look at you as an edifier? Church members, other people consider you a biter or an edifier? He talks about that. Verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, don't blame the Holy Spirit for your approaches. Don't blame the Holy Spirit for the way you're acting. You're not following the way that God says in the Bible. And he talks about that in verse 31, put off all bitterness. It's sort of interesting. I talk about lists. Often the first thing on the list is the thing that's like the elephant. Pastor, I'm having a handful. I've got some kids that aren't so dear. Now, they didn't say it quite that nice. They said, we're having a little problem here. We need to work on something. So, I'm supposed to be a follower of God. In other words, I'm going to be a church member. I'm up in Christ working together with the body, and people see me. Do they see me as a dear child? Or do they say, oh dear, here comes so-and-so? You know? I'm going to be a follower of God that way. Verse 2, walk in love. Verse 3, no fornication to be among us. Not even to be named among us. It's not even be talked among us. That garbage that's out there. Verse 4, filthiness. Verse 5, he said there, know ye this, that none of these kind of people are described as people that are heavenly bound. So, do people look at us and say, somebody that's already walking the heavenly walk. They wonder how you're going to get to heaven. It's sort of interesting way of looking at this. Look at verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let anybody talk to you and say, it's okay to live the garbage Gentile mentality. Let nobody be a vain talker to you. That's empty, ungodly talk. We have churches by the boatloads today. Talking vain talk, that wrong is right. God never put his hand on the stamp of approval upon that. Now, look at verse 7. Be therefore, this is where we were last week, don't you be a partaker of darkness. Don't be a partaker of the darkness. Verse 8. You were that way, but now you are a light child. We talked about how people ought to see us walking the light. Remember I talked about the little child with the light on their feet, how they enjoy walking around the light. It's to them a joy to be known. We ought to be, not show off, but we ought to delight in being the person that's known as a way, a person that walks in the light. That we're godly, Christ-like, we're kind. We don't have sin in our midst. We're just godly people. Walk as children of light. And how do the children of light walk? Verse 9. Through the Spirit. I don't think that takes a lot of real spiritual understanding to know that if you say I'm a child of the Lord, and you don't have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, all the fruits of the Spirit, you can tell a person by their lips. And so, we sort of ended that section with saying, how would people describe your walk? They say, light, pure light, sort of light, gray, dark. One of the things I've worked with our teenagers in our high school out of the light. And so we work on really doing that. Now look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable. The word proving, we said, our life then, that word proving means document. My life documents the gospel. In other words, they look at me and they say, the gospel works. The gospel changed that man or that woman. They are a godly person. And here's the proofing. Verse 11, he makes it, he lays it down so that we can't misunderstand it. And have not as much fellowship as you used to have in darkness. Is that what he says? It's pretty definitive. You talk about things that are commands in the Bible. This is the opposite of a command. It's a command, but it's a negative command. It's a prohibition. In America, we had a time of prohibition. What was it? No alcohol being sold. Everybody says, prohibition. By the way, that was a good time. Don't believe the history has been written. They make it look like it was a terrible time, but it was only a terrible time for the alcoholics that were trying to dry out. It was a good time. A church may be doing stuff. Where's the fruit? We've had a lot of fun watching this watermelon pot back here. You're not aware of it. Popped up after the 4th of July. Showed up like that. We left it there. It's grown into one quarter of the whole corner of the playground. Now it's a watermelon vine. One vine growing out there. We've got four watermelons. Three are left. One of the kids thought it was a cucumber and brought it in there. So, okay. But you know, as much as you enjoy watching the vine, you don't raise things to watch the vine. You enjoy the... I had somebody that came here about a month ago. They looked out and they saw that and they didn't recognize the vine because there was not any real fruit yet. And they thought it was local wheat. Up out of a cow pasture, cows eat it, they go mad. So they said, Pastor, that could be bad for the kids. Get up. I said, hey, no, stop. It's not local weed. I showed them, this little thing. Oh, look at that, it's a big cucumber. Good. And so he says to us here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful ones. But rather, what's our job? And here's a command. Don't fellowship, but do that word reprove is pretty obvious. Get after it. Stand up and speak up. Reprove those that aren't walking that way because it's even a shame for them to do them. Verse 13, when we act like that, he says, you are manifesting the light. Let me give you an example of a song he sung since you were a little kid. It's the light of life. What am I going to do? Hide it under a bushel. No, won't let Satan get out. This is no new principle. We're going to let it shine. So this is not that deep of theology, but the application is sometimes hard for us. Not only am I not to do that, but I'm to stand up and speak against it. I'm not to do it, and I am to reprove it. That's one of the jobs of a leader. But is it just the pastor's job? No. It's daddy's job, it's mother's job, it's the leadership's job. We see garbage going on, it isn't right in Christian's life. We should lovingly, kindly, firmly say, that's not the way you walk. In our school, at the beginning of the year, we lay down a principle. Boys and girls, teenagers, you have a teacher that you're under. We have also 12 other teachers walking around the place. If they say something to you, you listen to them too, just like they would your teacher. Because they love you, they know the rules, and they have authority and all the rest. Every once in a while, that doesn't get followed. Somebody said, that wasn't my teacher. Oh, yes, they are. We have a responsibility for each other. To improve each other. We're not to go out like, aha, I caught you doing something wrong. We know something is right. Listen to me, Christians. Sometimes we know something isn't going right in the church. Right? We know somebody isn't doing right. Pastor, man, I didn't feel aware. I'm fully aware of this. Another Christian man, another Christian lady, I stumble across something that's going on in another Christian's life that sort of comes to church. My job is, first of all, not to participate. My second job is to say, they won't like, who cares? Do it loving, do it right, do it right spirit, right attitude. But it's your job to stand in this world. So we're to reprove. That's where we basically, verse 13 says, for whatsoever doth manifest, make manifest. Whatever brings things and shows them up, that means if you're a manifester, you're a light bearer. That's what he's telling us. That's how we start being a light bearer. L-I-G-H. Not tonight, but we can. Verse 14, I went through him on that because he says, wherefore. We have to get the reasoning down to get the wherefore, right? And so he says, wherefore, he saith, wake up! Awake thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Four things. I'm entitled tonight's section, Our Call to Action. This is our call to do something specific. We've already been told, don't do this, and we should reprove, but what does he want us to do? Wherefore, verse 14, awake thou that sleepest. That word awake means some people have fallen asleep at the wheel. That means the church tends to sort of snooze. I had one of my children that wasn't doing right for just a little time in their life. And they said, you know, you and mom sleep awfully soundly. I said, what are you talking about? We sleep with our door open and your door open and we come in the hallway. They said, would you be amazed when we get away from that? I said, well, really? That was a call to action. You don't go bragging about what you do after mom and dad are asleep, right? Okay. And so he says, wake up! So what's our call to action? Our call to action is that we can get so busy doing stuff, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that we just need to be woken up. That even West Side Baptist Church needs to wake up sometimes. Now we're always picking on the new evangelicals, the liberals, and everybody else for what they let go on, right? Back to the image of a family. A good family, a good mom and dad, it's a home. And accusations sort of come towards their child and say, not my child. And probably that person might say something like that back. What do they say? They're going to say, it can happen to you too, brother, and it's in your house already. And it's going on under your nose while you're sleeping. Classes and the classroom I was in, there was another big class getting ready, they were going to change the chairs. We pulled back the tables, and I said, I can't do this room. I know it's a math class and all the papers and the little things, and they pull out the papers, and there's little white things. I just can't have the class. And so we got off the back of the table, that a good thing? But the room was getting dirty. I gotta, once in a while, just check the room. Once in a while, we need to check our family. Inspect what's going on in our marriage. I remember 20 or so years ago, I was somewhere, and let me tell you, man, this really was a wake-up call to me. I have a godly wife. This here. I don't think I have to preach it again. We're all on board with this. What's the call to action? Wake up! That's you too! Wake up and sleep. And the idea of sleep here, that sleep is someone who's just falling asleep. I watch it happen every Sunday. You don't intend to. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But people come in and they sit down, you get comfortable, the pastor gets in the same sort of a routine of saying the same thing, next thing you know, and your wife goes, wake up. We need to be careful when we don't fall asleep. So the first call to action is pretty clear. Wake up, this means you too. Let's look at the second call to action. It's in the same verse. Verse 14, wake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That word arise has the same idea, not just of the resurrection, but it means stand up or lift yourself up. The word agero. It does have to do with the resurrection. Christ rose up from the dead. So if you take the call to action, what do you have so far? Wake up and stand up. Quit sitting back. Stand up. And in our generation, we need individuals, we need families, we need churches, we need pastors to stand up. So this is our awake thou that sleepest. Stand up, arise from the dead. And the idea of the dead here is a person allow themselves to just sort of be impervious, allow themselves to not even feel what's going on around them. But now we need to get a new sensitivity. Stand up, get into action, quit being a dead person, quit not counting, get on board, pull your weight on the rope, you get it however you want to say it. Stand up! You've fallen asleep. Then he says, when you go to stand up, don't fear. Christ will give you light. But what I understand here is the Lord tells us, you get into action and I'll show you how to take the stand. I'll show you how to help people. I'll show you what is right. But you've got to show a desire to get in. It's sort of like faith, isn't it? Faith, we're called to faith, but God doesn't stick his hand out there until we step. So the call to action is wake up, step out. The Lord says, I'll show you, I'll put the light right where you need to go. Just get started. And I think sometimes the thing that we're afraid to maybe sort of engage the darkness and the darkness that's creeping in, I don't know the issues well enough. Or I don't know the Lord. the head, who we have grown up into, will tell us how to fight the battle. But he says, I want you to get activated. Get activated. Don't sit back anymore. Look at the next part, verse 15. Here's the third part of the call to action. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word circumspectly, that we're to walk, you have two words for walk. Pateo is just, okay, he walked down the road. You put the word peri in front of it, like a, this means around. So I am to walk around. And as I walk around in life, he says, I'm to walk circumspectly. And the word circumspectly there means I'm to walk diligently, exactly, perfectly, carefully. Walk around carefully. The best illustration I've given over the years, I don't know anything better than this one. When I was a boy, I grew up on a dairy farm, and the cows would come into the barn every night. You'd put them out in the afternoon, they'd go munch and eat, and they'd come back, they're ready to get milk. They come into the barn, they walk down the floors, they go into all their stalls, and then at, I don't know what it is, when cows stand for a while, they start walking because they got to poop. And as they walk along, they're leaving little cow pies all over the place. So now you're getting them all hooked up, and you've got to be careful where you walk. Or else you'll step in. That's the word. Walk exactly. If we're not careful, so then in that light tells us there's two kinds of walkers. We use the word wise, and the other one, unwise, just puts an A in front of an alpha. Whenever you put an alpha in front of it, it's like a negative, unwise. You can be a not wise, negative, or you can be a wise walker. So we as Christians need to be careful. I can remember different people who come into our barn. Anybody that grew up on the farm always knows to keep your eye in front. Then there's the city slickers. They just come in, hello there, Mr. Bob. Oh! And I tell you what, you can try to wash it off. Ever step a dog do? This is what he's talking about. We're going to be wise. So we've got Jacob, Smith, but I'm the wisdom of God. Can I challenge you to do something? As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about doing this in our adult Sunday school classes. Adding it in. I challenge you to read the book of Proverbs. I think most of us here are older Christians. What's a good plan to read the book of Proverbs? Choose the date. Today's the 19th. Go to chapter 19. So I don't have time to read all that and something else. Then just read the first 5 verses, the first 10 verses, the first 3 verses. And the next time, do a little bit more. All the rest of your life. You know, I've been reading the book of Proverbs now like 35 or 40 years, pretty much every I promise you, God keeps inserting new verses. Do you ever feel that way? How did I not see that 30 years ago? They're real good. As well as all the other books. So he says, wise up. So what's the wise up for us? Wise up in the sense that you're not foolish. The word for wise is the word soft. We talk about a sophomore. What is a sophomore? More means more. So a sophomore is a wise fool. That's a temporary. They think they know more than they know. Okay. He said, don't be a sophomore. definite. Wise up. Put on your discernment glasses. Walk exactly. Walk perfectly. That word perfectly means maturely. Walk like you know what you're doing as a Christian. Quit pretending you don't. Once you know, then put it on and do it. So, three commands to action. Wake up, stand up, wise up. There's one more call to action. Verse 16. Redeeming. Because the days are evil. And here we have the idea of redeeming, meaning to buy back your time. That's what you do if you're a student or in college and you've had a paper due for 2 months. Now you've only got 2 days left. Buy back everything you can. You ever been there? A lot of parents have a child that starts to get into some garbage and starts to live like a Gentile. I tell you what, when you first notice it, you better start redeeming your child. It's already a little later than you think. Right? The church starts to go down a little bit and they're going and there's some stuff going on. You better start buying up the time because by the time it surfaces, it's already got root. Buy back the time. Redeem the time. Why? Because the days we live have seen. Do you know the word here for evil? It's parmenos, parmenos. Well, that makes it pretty explicit, doesn't it? Church or world church. Stand up, be different. Act wisely. You better do it because the days are evil and we haven't got many opportunities. Churches go out of business quickly. I've said this more.